The hustle's worth it if like it's worth it to you in a way.
That can obviously be different in business. There might not be anything wrong with hustling 24/7, but like if you want to be at the top percentile in something, you need to recognize that every minute not spent on that thing is hurting you.
It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. In today's episode, I am interviewing one of my mentors, someone that I seriously look up to all the time. And it was probably one of the most insightful conversations we've had on the podcast to date. So today I had the honor of sitting down with Tate Hacker. I feel so lucky to have had this time to have this conversation with Tate and be able to share it with all of you guys, because I wanted to share it with any of you out there who are aspiring entrepreneurs or not sure how to navigate, you know, maybe your life in your 20s to set yourself up for success in all aspects of life, not just in business, but really that work-life balance and finding happiness. I put a poll up on my Instagram a few weeks ago asking what you would ask your 30-year-old self while being in your 20s. And we went through a lot of these answers today because on how Tate has actually hacked his way through his 20s, worked smarter, not harder, and saw inefficiencies in the world and used his confidence to get himself to start his own business in his early 20s that now 11 years later has over 100 employees. His story is absolutely amazing, and he's one of the most humble, down-to-earth people that I've ever met, who has had so much success and is always looking to share his findings and bring other young entrepreneurs together to fight for their dreams. So I'll stop rambling so we can get right into the episode. If you're listening on the audio version, we do post the video version of this episode as well if you want to see the conversation over on the Loud Talk with Lavi YouTube channel. But without further ado, I hope you enjoy and let me know what you think so we can take this discussion even further. I'm so excited to hear what you guys think about this conversation. So let's get loud. It's time to get loud. Thank you, Tate, for joining me on this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. I'm actually so excited to have you here because truthfully, you're like one of the people I look up to the most. Like I always consider you like a mentor, and I feel like you've helped me so much in like just these past few months as I've been like spiraling in my 20s and trying to figure out where I'm going next. And I'm really excited to have you on. To start off, I do have a lot of questions from people that I asked, like if you could ask your mentor a question, what would it be? So we'll go through those. But I want to hear a little bit about you. You know, obviously I know what you're up to, but for the audience. So can you tell us a bit about kind of your upbringing and how you kind of got to where you are today?
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And thanks for all the nice things. That's so nice of you to say. Yeah. So where do I begin? I grew up on Vancouver Island in what I thought was a small town growing up. It was, you know, 20, 30,000 people. It felt very tiny though.
Okay.
And so far removed from technology. And now I'm obviously a founder of a technology company. Didn't really have them in the cards growing up, I suppose. Right. So grew up as a like working blue collar jobs, lots of construction, commercial fishing. And that was really like the start of what I would say was the Zayzoon journey, the journey that I'm on now. So I went out commercial fishing as a teenager. Always had like little odd jobs and stuff and saved all my money. I was relentless with that. I don't know why. Okay. I don't know what made me do that, but I always just wanted to like be like a little squirrel and squirrel it away.
I have a question. Yeah. Because you were like, you know, entrepreneur from the get-go. What were you like in school growing up? Like, were you like a big academic guy? Like, were you really into school? Like, what was that?
So I always got really good grades. Like I was a straight A student, but no one would have thought that. I was always the class clown as well.
Got it.
So like needing attention, seeking attention, probably a little bit insecure, trying to find that attention through that. But then also like being really good at school, right? Like math was always my favorite subject. It started to trail off a little bit when I got, you know, like into high school and then university, of course.
Working.
Well, the problem was, is I learned in high school, I learned that you could get into university with a B. And so I was like, okay, well, then I'll just do the least amount of work possible to get a B.
Right. Thanks for not hard. Yeah.
Exactly. And then once I was in university, it became really apparent that I wasn't going to get like a traditional profession.
Right.
So if you're not going to go into post-secondary school, become a lawyer, doctor, whatever else, you don't really need to have good grades either.
Okay.
And so then it just became like, I'm going to optimize my university experience for connecting with as many people as I can. And there's like a whole story there around coffee dates and finding like my own mentors through that journey. But yeah, and then of course, like, it's a compounding effect. So you get the minimum grade possible in high school to get into university. Well, then once you get into university, because you didn't try super hard in high school, your grades aren't that good now in university, and so on and so forth. And so now I don't think I'm academic at all. But thankfully, I have, I guess, the street smarts of this book smart side of the equation.
Because I'm curious, because I feel like so many people, not only in high school, but also entering university, feel that pressure of like, I need the good grades. I need to get a degree to like be successful and present successfully to the world. Like, what are your opinions on that?
I mean, I think it's a good thing to strive for. So I kind of went down this path of coffee dates because I realized early on that even probably before university that getting a normal career wasn't going to be in the books. I just wanted to always be an
How did you feel
entrepreneur.
that? Because I know I, like, in the back of my head, I always, from when I was little, always felt like, I would tell Dick, I was like, I'm gonna own my own business one day. And he's like, I just want a job. Like, that's, we were pretty much that.
I mean, I guess there's like two different types of people,
But
right?
what kind of sparked that in you knowing, like, what made you really come to the decision, like, I want to do my own thing?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think there's a combination of seeing inefficiencies and issues and things and having like the confidence and maybe like the arrogance and the naivety to like think that you can do something better. And so, of course, like having jobs growing up, like working in the grocery store or at the convenience store or unloading prawn boats or working on the fishing boats. Like there's so many inefficiencies that occur in like everyday work. And so always like my thought wasn't, oh, this sucks and like whatever, this is just a job. It was always like, how could I do this better?
Interesting.
Like, oh, interesting. Like maybe I should I buy a boat and like should I have a boat business that like does this way better than these other guys? And can we be that much more efficient? And would that be a good business? And so like I think it was always looking for a little hack of how
And
to
how
do
your
things
brain
better.
works. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. And
So cool.
so I think like that was definitely an aspect of it. And then so going to university, it was a lot of, like I said, coffee dates. The really cool part about like early 20s being in university is it's this precious moment where you can demand things of the world that you can't get any other time. And so as a university student, you can message whoever you want. And if you have like a half-baked, decent introductory message with like a fairly specific ask, and you kind of follow some like decent email tactics, people will meet with you because you're a hungry university student and no one ever emails. I was at a just as like a side note tangent, I was at a like fireside chat at the University of Calgary with a well-known business guy here in town, and he gave out his email to everyone. And I was really surprised. I was like, oh my gosh, like you just gave your email to a class of like 100 students. And he's like, I will be surprised if more than two people email me. And so it just doesn't happen.
Do you think that's because all those students think, well, he's gonna get too many emails, he's never gonna look at this or not give me the
I
attention?
mean, maybe in part, I think a lot of it is people just don't know what they would talk about or what they would do. And so they go, well, I don't have anything specific to ask, or like, I'm not trying to start a business right now. I have I want to eventually, but I don't know what I'd do. And so like, why would I talk to this person right now? When in reality, it's like that positive momentum, and sort of curiosity that actually feeds the machine of what you can do. And so for myself, I did this commercial fishing as a teenager. I socked away a decent amount of money. And when I was 16, I did a second mortgage for someone, which basically means someone had poor credit. They couldn't get a mortgage for their house through traditional banking methods. And so I gave them a mortgage as a 16-year-old.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
So cool.
And so a year later, I got a check back with interest. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a really cool way to make money. Like I can give money out and get more money back. This is in 20, like 2006, maybe or so. I'm 33, so this was, I don't know, like 2006 maybe. Craigslist back then was the place to be, at least for me. Like buying and selling things. If you wanted to buy a car, if you wanted to buy, like for me, it was like drum sets or guitars. Like you would go to Craigslist. And so naturally, I thought if I want to give money to people, if I want to make more of these loans, well, people must go to Craigslist to look for money. It was this weird connection. And so I put an ad up on Craigslist and I started lending money out. And so between the age of 16 and 23, I lent a little over $250,000 in
Wow.
these short-term small dollar loans, okay? And why that's important is it like leads into the Zazun story, of course, and we can get into that a little bit if it makes sense. But I think more so, it was like I knew that I had something there, and going back to the conversations as a university student, not really knowing what to talk about. Well, I knew that I wanted to do something in that area, and I knew that I wanted to do something entrepreneurial, and so I just started reaching out to people that were in that arena, like where they had a money lending business, or they had a mortgage business, or they and like, oh, okay, I don't really want to do that. That doesn't make sense. Or like, oh, I don't want to do this. But that was a great conversation, and by the way, I made a good connection. And so he introduced me to someone else, and it just sort of snowballs. And so by third year university, my schedule was like, six coffee dates a week or more with different influential people in the community, all sort of feeding that curiosity and feeding that like forward momentum muscle that eventually led to like the idea of Zazun and the idea of like starting something. And so, yeah, I think it's like really important to like
Yeah, no, that's so
note that
cool.
people don't like, there's not always that light bulb moment. And you just need to maintain that positive forward momentum and keep pulling on threads. I say that a lot, like pull on threads, and you'll like some you'll toss away, and others you'll like, pull harder on, and you'll eventually find something.
I think that I knew you started Zazen like really young, but I didn't know that's kind of the inspiration that came behind it. So then you officially started at 19, right?
Yeah, it would have been I would have been 22.
Okay. So
Yeah.
then 19.
Yeah. I was
Maybe that's when the ideas like
yeah,
20.
it
Okay.
would have been around then for sure, yeah.
Okay, and now more
Yeah.
than 10 years later.
Yeah, so it's been just over 10 years that we've actually like officially started and launched. We're a couple hundred employees, which is crazy.
Huge.
We've raised tens and tens of millions of dollars, and most importantly, like we've helped a ton of people. So the basic premise of it is people with paycheck to paycheck, when they fall into this like cash flow crunch in between pay periods, they don't really have a ton of good products to use. They use things like payday loans. Maybe they go into overdraft. Not everyone has like a credit card that they can use for small dollar sort of like cash flow relief. And so we simply give people access to liquidity between paydays. You work at McDonald's, you finish your shift, you can log into our app and grab your $100 and be good until the next payday.
So cool.
So yeah, we've saved hundreds of millions of dollars in fees for people, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, that is insane. My question for you is when you were in that starting period, did you have people that maybe you like said your idea to or like your big dreams to that doubted you or kind of like laughed more like, oh yeah, like sure.
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if it was like in a vindictive, is that the right word for that? Or like in a malicious way, I guess. I think just like people are very skeptical,
Yeah,
right? Like,
concerning. Yeah.
yeah, skeptical, concerned. Like you said, like you knew from a young age that you wanted to do your own thing.
Yeah.
And like your brother, for example, like didn't want to do his own thing. And so like I think for someone that like you probably couldn't understand his point of view, and he couldn't understand your point of view in that sense, right? And so as it starts to become more and more of a reality at an older age, and everyone else is going through the motions of like getting the career and doing the things that, especially going through like university and doing the steps towards, something. If, like I said, pulling on threads, having all these coffee meetings, trying to figure out and triangulate around exactly what you want to do, that's not a clear path. Right? That's a very like jagged way versus a very linear path that most people set themselves
Yeah,
to.
it's not traditional. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's very difficult to understand. And so of course people are gonna
There's risk and
wonder.
yeah.
Yeah.
But how did you kind of navigate that and not let, any of the those outside voices kind of make you doubt yourself?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I don't know if there's a really easy answer for that.
Or I guess if that self-doubt kind of came in sometimes, like what did you
Oh
do?
yeah, for sure. There's so I remember moving to Calgary, and so I moved here in 2014, and I got a job in like deep northeast. And I remember I had to come downtown one of the days for something, to drop something off. And I parked my car, and I somehow parked in like a no parking zone, while at the same time it was like a handicap zone, and it was like after hours or something. I got hit with like a $500 parking
Oh,
ticket. I didn't even know
gosh.
that was possible. And like I had money, but like I wasn't making good money. Like my cash flow was bad. And so I had to like dip into my savings to pay that. And I remember after like literally 20 minutes after I got it, I was driving home, like sat in my driveway, basement suite that I was renting in Northeast Calgary. And I called my mom up, and I was just crying. And yeah, just like I don't know if that's like exactly related, but I suppose, yeah, there's moments where you're like, frick, is this, should I actually be doing this? Whether it's like starting a business or like having a job or like moving to a new place or whatever, like of course you're gonna have doubt. And so I think there's like it's important to surround yourself with people that, you know, in my mom's case, when I called her crying, she's like, oh, like that's not a big deal. It's okay. Like you're good. And then my dad like reinforces it, right? And like, so I think it's really good to have a good support network. And in my case, it's like really awesome friends, really solid mentors and like a loving family. But for others, I don't know, like, yeah, find that confidence somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, surround
Yeah.
yourself with the energy. Because I think that's the biggest thing is like when you have people around you placing that doubt even further on you, it just like
Yeah.
escalates in your brain where
What,
it's.
like, what do you think? Like, you had a very
Oh gosh.
non-traditional path that way.
Yeah, I mean, like with social media, I started so young that oh, here you're trying the questions that I have. Yeah, like I remember going to school, people like making fun of my videos. I remember a teacher at one point, I was walking into it was my math class. They were playing my video on the screen. It has like 200 views, and people are just laughing at me because I had like 1,000 subscribers at the time. And I'm like, this is kind of weird that my teacher's like doing
That's
that.
super weird.
But he's like, oh, I didn't know you did YouTube, blah, blah. I had this girl tell me, like, oh, because I was in cosmetology, and they're like, oh, if our cos teachers knew the videos you were posting, they'd be like embarrassed, like, and blah, blah, blah. So there's always that. And even to this day, like, some of the same people are like, do you still make those little videos, like, in your room? And I'm like, yeah, and those little videos are my full-time job. But that, you know, so I think for me, the biggest thing was like, I had such a big passion for it, and it was kind of my like safe space and outlet that I could go to. And I knew that, like, you know, you post yourself online, like you're gonna get feedback from people. But it was never the negative comments online that I would get. It was always the people that I knew in real life. But I think like it definitely helped me grow and like, you know, have a better relationship with when I do hear those negative comments, because anything I'm working on now, that if people were to say something, it's like it took me so long to build my social media up that, you know, I always just respond with, well, it's gonna take time, and you know, I'm just putting in the work, and at the end of the day, like I enjoy it. And that's like, you know, I think it's interesting, as I've grown up, I've realized people don't really let adults just like have hobbies for fun either, unless you're like really good at it. I mean, there's, you know, we go to like workout classes and stuff, but I was talking to my mom about this even with 9 to 5, a skincare brand. And I was like, I need to take some of that pressure off myself of like, I need to make this brand work. I need to, you know, I'm like, maybe it could just be my hobby for now. I just have a skincare brand as my hobby, and I talked to this girl a few months ago, and she actually started doing like singing performances in Calgary, and people were hating on her because they're like, you suck. And she's like, oh, I know I'm not a good singer. I just enjoy performing, so this is just my new hobby. So I find that interesting how like people, you know, you start something new and it's like that expectation that you're either doing this to take it to like the finish line or not.
I think there's a couple interesting things there. So one, I had a thought while you were talking there. Like, I think people just naturally pick the path of least resistance as well. And I guess like what I mean by that is like you ask someone how they're doing, the easy thing to say is like, oh, so busy, or like,
Good.
like, oh, I'm good. And so I think like many times if you don't know about like in your case, like the YouTube journey in the early days, like the path of least resistance for someone isn't to be curious and ask questions and be supportive and get stoked, but it's to go like it's to make a what they might perceive as like a funny little quip. And so sometimes like I think it's just out of like laziness or
That lack of curiosity, yeah.
exactly, right? So I don't always think that it's malicious in that sense.
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing, so like podcasts are really interesting because I'm going to pontificate on many things today that what gives me the right to say. Like it's just like a random opinion that quite honestly, like I might say it during this podcast and I might think on it for more than 2 seconds. And I might be like, oh my gosh, shit, that was such a dumb comment. And so I get actually like self-conscious doing podcasts because I'm like,
Really?
why would someone want to hear from me?
I would have never thought that. See, this is why this conversation is important, because I feel like so many people look at you, I look at you, and like, this guy's got it all figured out. Like, you know, he's so good at speaking, also. It's really interesting they say that.
Well, so, and I remember I said that a few years ago, I was even less qualified to be on a podcast. Like ZayZoon was starting to get success, but it definitely wasn't anywhere, you know, near successful as it is now. And my personal career wasn't nearly as successful as it is now either. But I remember Val, my fiance,
Congrats, by the
she was like, well, like people only listen to the podcast if they want to listen to it.
True. No one's forcing them to sit
And
down and listen.
like it was such a simple statement where I was like, oh yeah, I guess so. Like if they want to listen, cool. If they don't, they'll turn it
Yeah, they'll
off.
sort out your opinion through the podcast. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's such a good
Yeah. And so I
perspective.
think like similarly with like you brought the example up with the girl that does singing. It's like if she's bad at singing or they don't want to listen to it, like they don't need to listen to it.
Yeah, but I think it's just that human nature of like, you know, like the hate watching, or you know,
Totally.
like, and that, you know, I always take myself out of it and be like, you know what, like that person's not in a great place, because if they're like pushing something that they despise onto themselves, like they're just going through, and I never, you know, you can't take it personally then, because it's like that's they're projecting like
Totally.
outwards
Totally.
in that. Yeah. Should we get some into some of these questions
Yeah,
from
we
the
can for sure.
audience? Okay, I'll pull them up. Okay, first question. We were kind of talking about this briefly about like different types of people. Do you think like the hustle life or like building a business for yourself is for everyone? Do you like obviously it's not for everyone because people sometimes say like that I would never want to do that, but for the person that like wants to but just feels like they can't get
Yeah.
themselves to work at that ethic.
Interesting. I think you should know what you want, I suppose, in that sense, and not fool yourself. And so, like, if you truly want to have a successful business or successful, I say business, like, I guess in air quotes, like a successful life in any sense, whether that's like physical health, mental health, successful business financial wise, like by nature, you need to be better than average. So like you need to do more than the average person is doing, and not just more than average, but like more than the 80th, 90th percentile to really succeed. And so like, yeah, you need to hustle. You need to hustle. You need to put the work in. And like, you can fool yourself all you want and talk about like work-life balance and whatever else, but it's not real. You can have different seasons in your life where you really dig into something for a set amount of time, and then you lay off the gas and you work on something else. But I think it's very difficult to maintain top quartile success in anything if you're not going to put like crazy, crazy effort, hours, brain power, everything into it.
I like how you mentioned the fool yourself, because I think sometimes we tell ourselves we're working really hard at something, but you kind of have to do that zoom out and see kind of where you're at. And with that being said, how do you kind of navigate like comparison in that aspect of, looking at other people and being like, oh, this person's working harder than me in this, or they're achieving this and I'm not? Like, how do you
Yeah, I think
tackle that?
so some things is going to be more tangible than others, right? Like for example, if you're working in fitness and you're like competing in a bodybuilding competition, and I don't know, I'm making up an analogy that
No, I
I
get
have
it.
no ass like I have no I guess insight into, but like I would think that that's a little bit more tangible because like the hours you put into the gym and the like macros that you're eating in your food are like directly correlated with that outcome. That can obviously be different in business, where like it's a lot more intangible. There's working smarter, not harder in some cases. And so I think like it's just knowing that like the outcome is what you're trying to achieve, not the output. But again, you can't fool yourself and think I'm going to achieve this outcome with 10% of the output. But you could perhaps achieve that same outcome with 70% of the output because you're doing it in a different way. You know how to prioritize better. You're leveraging a foundation of contacts and a network that you've built over a long period of time to help accelerate you through certain stages. Like think about like starting 9 to 5, right? Like how many little things took up a bunch of time, where if you were to do that today, you could probably take 3 or 4 months and compress that down to 2 weeks.
Yeah, because it was like we don't know what we don't know. Like it was so
Exactly.
much like searching. But
Exactly.
I guess it's interesting too, because you're not really a social media guy
I'm not.
at all. But for the people, I think obviously like I'm very much on social media, and I think I see so many business owners, even in fields that like you're more closely related to, who share so much on social media, and it's kind of like this whole highlight reel. Can you kind of touch on that and like where the comparison comes in there, where it's like you're looking at all these per this person's like success piece in their life, but then obviously we all kind of know the background isn't shown, but when we look at these posts, our brain kind of tricks us into thinking, oh, this is their everyday
Yeah,
life.
is I had that thought. So I was in Dubai last
Yeah,
week.
I was just gonna think about that,
So
yeah.
I had that thought because my co-founder and I laughed way too hard for way too long about this, and it was probably because we were super tired and jet lagged and everything else. But I wear a Whoop
Okay,
for like
yeah.
health tracking, and my Whoop sent me a notification. It was like, you haven't logged sleep in more than 24 hours. And it was just the most hilarious thing because we had flown to Dubai, we had landed, hung out for a bit, rode a camel, like did all this, and it was like an 18-hour flight to Dubai, or 24 hours actually. And so we didn't done all this stuff, and then it sends me that notification. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Been busy.
Yeah, but so I think like what was funny is DC, and why it reminds me of that is he's like, oh man, that's totally like an Instagram versus reality. The Instagram is like us riding the camel. The reality is like you're falling asleep on the car ride home and your Whoop's being like, dude, you're not healthy. Now obviously that's like a very like privileged like aspect of it, but I think like that trip's a good example. So like it was bookended with 2 personal days. So we landed really late, or I guess early Sunday morning or Monday morning, from after a 22-hour flight. We had all day Monday free, and so we sort of just hung out, did our thing. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it was stacked from 6:30 or 7 in the morning until 10:30, 11 at night, between like investor meetings, the meetings that we had at the conference, dinners and lunches. That, you know, that's a really good example of something that seems really great from the outside, but just kills you on the inside.
Right.
Put me in a dinner party with a bunch of people that I don't know and don't want to small talk with. It's a terrible experience. And so I think like that's a good example of like 3 days of hell. And there's a couple of good days in there. And you know, the whole trip seems like, oh my gosh,
Yeah, because
this guy lives a life.
you're posting like the camel ride and all this
And
like
here I
stuff.
am flying back home, you know, middle row, middle seat economy on a 16 and a half hour journey back
That's not posted.
to Seattle layover before I then have to hop on another plane to get, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So yeah. Yeah.
no, that's actually like perfect timing with that. I think like so many people just focus on that and then they see like this little blip and imagine like, oh, this guy, this is his everyday, like daily routine where it's just like a day out of how many
Totally.
others. So
Totally. And now like obviously everything gets old to someone eventually as well, right? And so even saying what I'm saying there's probably a lot of people that are like, oh, big whoop, like you've got to do that. You have to, but I think the point is like it's relative to everyone's journey. I think you get what I'm saying with that
Yeah,
though.
no, I totally get it. What do you think sets you apart from other people? And you can maybe answer this more specific to like your industry or
Sure.
entrepreneurs in general.
So growing up, it was, this actually ties into like the work smarter versus harder aspect, because I'm not actually very good at that. I'm trying to be better at that. So I think growing up, like it was always work ethic and like putting in the hours, being super eager and like really outworking everyone.
What do you mean by outworking? Like the people around you,
Yeah,
your job and stuff?
exactly. Okay. So I think that was like, as far as like career success or career wise, I think that like set me apart. Now that's not the case. Like there's a lot of people that work really freaking hard and like they put in long, long hours and they're really good at what they do. And like I'm not always like that. Like I'm not always the best at that. And so it's been interesting to have to like switch or try to grow in my career from being like, you know, hand and shovel or like whatever, like pick and shovel, like really tangible output work, to outcome focused work where you need to learn how to work smarter, not harder, learn how to play more chess than checkers, I suppose. And so that's like something I'm trying hard to change up and be better at. I think so I think like, yeah, it would have been maybe like that aspect when I was younger. I think now and also like threaded throughout my whole life, like curiosity. I think that's like the main thing that probably always comes back and I probably hear repeated to me as well, is just like having that insatiable curiosity and like genuine curiosity to really like dig in and understand, because that's like it's such an easy thing to do and it's such a skill that's missed by so many people. But by having that, like it creates better conversation, it creates better learnings, it creates, you know, better insights into problems that you can then tackle your, like it just feeds the machine. And so I think like curiosity is so important. I don't know if that answers that question,
Yeah, no,
really.
it does. I definitely think you're like one of the most curious people I know
Oh, thank
because
you.
even like again, like you have you're like not on social media at all, but when we met, you like asked me so many questions about my social media, and I thought like this is so interesting because you like
Yeah.
don't really care. Well, like you
No,
care
I
to
do.
ask, but
Yeah.
I mean like in terms of like your own stuff. So I thought that was interesting because I feel like sometimes when people ask me questions, it's almost like how do I get here and here and here as a
Yeah.
creator? And I knew like your goal is not to become a social media influencer unless maybe one day, you
No,
know, but you know what I mean? Like it's
definitely
just like pure curiosity in that rather than like trying to get an answer. So I definitely feel like you're a very curious person. And
not.
I think
Thank you.
that's like you mentioned, I think it's not a skill that a lot of people have. Like I think even for myself, I'm trying to become more curious, but sometimes there is that battle of like I'm so busy with my own stuff in my head sometimes that I forget to like ask those questions
Fair.
and like think, you know, outside of that. But
Fair.
that's
I
a
mean,
good
I
point.
very much can relate to that too, right? Like, yeah, it's difficult to not always talk and like, yeah, like you want to fill that gap or you want to like you're doing super cool things as well. And so of course like you want to talk about it and yeah, or just talk about anything, right? But I think like, yeah, that curiosity is really, really important. It makes for good conversation.
Yeah,
Like
no,
good
it totally
conversation
does.
like goes a long way.
Next question I want to ask you, because you kind of mentioned like the hustle and, you know, like putting in the hours and we kind of touched on that. So someone asked, are the endless hours of work worth the hustle? And I think maybe I'll add to this question here, because I think it depends what's worth it for each person. Like, is it this, you know, end milestone you're trying to reach and then you're like, okay, I'm done. That's it. Because for me, I feel like I enjoy the hustle part so much, like the journey part, that it's like, even if I've reached X goal, I'm just gonna keep going. So yeah, what's your perspective on that of like, is the hustle worth and all the endless hours of work that you put in?
This is probably a difference in thought between like the non-traditional and the traditional, or maybe more simplistic, like the entrepreneur versus like non-entrepreneur lifestyle. Because the hustle, I think, to most entrepreneurs, like isn't really viewed as hustle. It's just viewed as like doing
Life.
thing. Yeah, exactly. Like the whole concept of the classic question that I don't know if you get, or you know, I think people ask is like, oh, like what are you gonna do when you retire? And it's like such a foreign concept because I'm like, well, I don't know, like I like start a business? Like what, why would I retire?
I actually saw a video, an interview recently of Mr. Beast, and this made me laugh when he said this, because I think people look at him like, well, he's doing so well with his, because people are like, has anyone ever offered to buy our YouTube channel? And he's like, yeah, like all the time they've offered me billions of dollars to buy it. And he's like, I've thought about it, but at the end of the day, if I sell it, I would just go make another channel and go do the same thing. So why would I sell, you know? And I thought that was so interesting, because I think people view it as like, okay, he sold, then he's like done and retired. But I feel like he, you know, it's that same mindset. He enjoys what he does so
You need
much
to do
that.
something purpose is extremely important for humans, right? It's funny because like what's viewed as hustle in some people's minds is viewed as like extreme purpose and ownership in others. And like to me, that extreme purpose and ownership is actually what feels good and actually like gives you something to live for, I guess. Not to sound like super weird or philosophical now, but also Mr. Beast, I was listening to something on him. So similarly, I guess like his parents lost a bunch of money during the 2008 financial crisis, and so they're like very just like weary with money and
More frugal, yeah.
exactly. And he made like $200,000 on one of his videos that he did. He got like $200,000 check, and he got in this big argument with his mom because his mom was like, "You need to like put that away, save it." He's like, "Well, why would I do that? Like if I put it away, like then I'm gonna need to find more money to like make another video." So he's like, "I'm just gonna use this $200,000 to make another video." And it wasn't computing for her because she's like, no, like she's of this scarcity mindset of we lost everything, we need to put money aside and have like a safety net. And I just thought that was funny because it's totally true. It's like, well, if you have the money, like same thing, why would he retire? Well, he's just gonna use that to do something
Do
else.
something else. No, I think it's interesting, because it's, and I want to add, this is one of the questions I want to ask you, is like, I think people hustle towards like, and we all have goals, and I'm sure like you have a million goals going on, but how do you kind of navigate with like moving the goalposts constantly? Like, do you ever find yourself reaching a goal and then not really feeling as fulfilled by it as you thought you would be?
Oh, certainly. And the goalposts always change because you're always growing and like learning more as a human, right? Or like as an entrepreneur, as like an ambitious person. And so it's funny, even I talked about like the mentors that I had through university. They're not who I would consider a mentor today.
Interesting.
Because even that goalpost of who's influential in your life and who's important, like you might surpass them. And so like very graciously said, like you look at me as a mentor, but like in however many years, if 9 to 5 is making billions of dollars and like all this stuff,
I know what you
then all
mean
of a
by
sudden it's like, oh, actually, like Labby's the mentor
that.
now. Like I need to learn something from her.
Soon becomes the master. But yeah, no, I know what you
And so I
mean.
think like, yeah, the goalposts always change in that sense. And so similarly with goals, there's a saying, it's like people overestimate what they can do in a year, but very underestimate, like completely underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
Yeah, you told me this one when I was like having my spiral. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
So I think that that's like really important because of course you're going to underestimate what you can do in 10 years. And so your goalpost has to change if you're having any sort of ambition.
So then how do you kind of navigate, I guess, maybe gratitude with like, you know, what you have and not always chasing like that next bigger thing, and, you know, maybe think, because what I do a lot is I find myself doing that. I have to think like, okay, 13-year-old me would like love this, you know, and be so grateful for this job and couldn't believe, but now that I'm here, it's like you're constantly, it's like that human nature of wanting more and more and more as you grow.
In part, I want to say that I think it's just like the entrepreneur's disease. Like if
There's no
you're
cure, people.
I mean, like if what you're doing is trying to be at the top of your class and the measure for business is like success by way of money or impact on customers or you know the lives that you affect, then like by nature more of that is better. It's probably not always true. But like, I think very simplistically, like the 80-20 principle is probably like, that is how most people measure success. And so, yeah, I don't know, like, if there is an answer to that. I certainly like have got caught, I've caught myself a lot of times where I'm like, I should be celebrating this win. And I find myself instead being like, what's next? What's next? Is something that, you know, like the love languages. Okay, so like one of my top ones is words of affirmation. And I noticed this and I called myself out on it with my team because I like love words of affirmation. I never give words of affirmation to others,
Okay,
which is like
interesting.
such a, I think that's a weird thing based on the love, like usually you give what
You give
you,
out what you want.
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And I think like that probably is a pain point for my team and like my direct reports or my peers that are leaders at the company because yeah, like something happens and instead of being like, oh, amazing, great, I'll always instead follow it up with a question. Like, interesting. What about this, this, and this? Because
You're
I'm
already thinking ahead into
totally,
tomorrow, yeah.
totally like just wanting that more clarity, more, you know, forward momentum or whatever. So I don't really have a good answer for that
Yeah.
other than, yeah.
So you said like you find yourself doing that,
Yeah.
like, kind of thinking of the next goal. Is there anything you do to kind of bring yourself back into like focusing on the present and living like in the
Yeah.
present, as people say?
Yeah, we do like we have like so my fiance, I can't not say it
Yeah,
without
no,
doing
you
that.
have to
Yeah,
say it
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
We have little rituals for sure. We do like dim sum dates every weekend. I go hiking almost every weekend. That's been a thing for the last number of years. So like those are I don't know, like I don't know about like grounding or whatever, but like those are things that definitely like act as a quick reset. It's good to have like that, you know.
Routine.
Check like check in and just
Okay,
like
yeah.
make sure everything's good. It's good like on hiking, for example. I have a friend that's like a really, you know, really good friend and that we go on these weekly hikes with. And I think like that's important because it allows you to have a bit of a little therapy session or like a little, you know what I'm
Touch
trying to
some
say?
grass.
Like, yeah, touch some grass, exactly. So I don't know, like I do think that those little check-ins are important and maybe that like helps bring back to the present. But I really don't know. Yeah,
Okay,
I don't have a good
incurable
answer.
disease.
Do
That's
you have
the
a good
answer.
answer for it?
No, because I'm struggling with that, so I
Okay.
thought, going to
Yeah.
my mentor.
Yeah, damn. I don't. I don't. I wish I did.
Think that is, as an entrepreneur, it keeps you going though, because without that, you'd be like, okay, done.
Yeah.
We did it. It's
Totally.
kind of like you don't, it's not like you're writing an exam or, studying for a test. You get the end of the textbook, you're like, hey, done,
Totally.
put it away. Like, that's what keeps you going is like, I finished one video. I have like 10 more video ideas in my head while I'm filming the one. Like, it's just
Yeah.
always more. And, I mean, with social media, it is so focused on numbers sometimes, which can kind of get me in my head sometimes of like that comparison. And,
Yeah,
but
and well,
it's,
and it's so obvious. Like it's so
that's
right
what I
there in
mean.
front of
And
you.
like,
Yeah.
not only you can see it, like, it's not like, for example, financials, where like you log into your bank, you can see it, where it's
Totally.
like it's broadcasted to the world, right? But I always have to remind myself, like, if I was in this position when I started, like, I would have been so
Yeah.
incredibly happy. So I'm trying to like have more moments of gratitude and like, I'm always thankful, but instead of always like running to the next thing,
Yeah.
like slowing down a bit and like sitting and enjoying like the present a little. That's what I'm
Yeah.
like trying to work on, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle for
There's
real.
another, maybe it's like relatable to gratitude, kind of. So I remember hearing, I think it was like Huberman or like one of those like health guys talk about dopamine and the effects of dopamine. And they're talking about like grit and basically finding dopamine in the hard work. And so, for example, I might mess this up a little bit, but when you work out, okay, if you always use like a carrot at the end of that workout, so you're like, I'm working out because I'm gonna have like cake after this. I'm gonna have cake. I'm gonna have cake. Well, like eventually your dopamine receptors get dull to that, and cake just becomes this like thing that's not actually important. And so the workout falls off or whatever. Versus like when you find, sounds weird and difficult to like achieve and a little bit ethereal, I suppose, but when you find the dopamine hit from the workout itself and like the hard, painful thing, that's what actually like can keep you going. And so as you talk about gratitude, I was actually thinking like, it is it needed? Or like is the actual beautiful
Journey.
part about entrepreneurship like finding gratitude
Yeah.
or finding like enjoyment in the hard stuff?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, because I think like focusing less on the result and more just that like journey. And yeah, because at the end of the day, like, I think you wouldn't have started anything you're doing if you didn't enjoy that hustle part of it. But I
Yeah.
think, yeah, the mindset, going back to the original question, like, I think the hustle's worth it if like it's worth it to you in a way, like, and if
Yeah.
you enjoy it. Because yeah, it just depends what path you want to go on with that.
I think, yeah, you obviously needing to be like self-aware and like understanding what buckets you're taking from and where you want that energy, and doing that zoom out and re recognizing where you want to live, or like where you want to be. But like, there might not be anything wrong with hustling 24/7 in like a certain area and like avoiding everything else in your life if that's truly what makes sense. And you've like taken a very objective, I guess, approach to that. I think I might have said this to you before. I had a mentor talk to me about this like pyramid, and it was self relationship, self family, and then work. And so like self was at the top of this pyramid, the tiniest little part, and then family was the middle band, and finally at the end was work. And so by quantity wise, work took up all the space, but priority wise, self was first. And so I think like having those check-ins is super important, because I guess like I've found that I can never maintain more than a couple of those areas at the same time. So
Yeah,
like
it's like the burner analogy.
my relationship might be really solid and my work might be really solid, and I haven't gone to the gym in a month and I'm eating crappy, I'm on the road and I'm having fast food or whatever. And then other months, it's like, Val and I might not see each other for 3 weeks, but my work's dialed in and I'm hitting the gym, food's great, whatever. You get the point, right? And so I think just continually having that like zoom out effect, doing a bit of a reset, doing a bit of like a recalibration, and understanding like, all right, am I okay to let this bucket, or let this fire burn for a little bit and continue to feed these two things? Awesome. Oh, I'm not, because I feel this strain on my relationship. I should probably,
Transfer some
refactor and transfer some
energy.
stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy.
You were talking about like the burner analogy. I haven't actually heard it before, but it sounds like
Really?
the same sort of
Yeah,
thing.
it's like, so it's like the like a stovetop or whatever, and it's like you can't have, well, it's like if you have the heat fully on the other, like you can only have three out of the four burners on at once. I feel like I see so many entrepreneurs on social media, for example, comes to mind like Alex Hormozi. And like, he's doing great, but like when I watch his video, I don't personally relate to them because he's always like, I have to have the blinds down, and then I'm just like sitting there for 10 hours straight working, no light, no distractions, nothing, and then I can really, I think when I see those, it's very easy to compare yourself and look at that and be like, is that what I should be doing? Or like, but I look at that and I'm like, that's just not how I work. One, my job is different. It's like more of a creative. But do you have any advice for people who are like looking, maybe even listening to this podcast, and they're trying to like transform their day-to-day routine to look like someone else's and kind of copy that routine?
A person like a similar analogy that I always use is like the Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. And I think like every leader thinks that, oh, like I need to be like Steve Jobs, or I need to be like Elon Musk, I need to be like a tyrant, I need to be like super, just like difficult with my employees, and like drive, drive, drive. And maybe like that might be true. But also like you're looking at the two out of a billion people that has worked for, right? And so I think like you can also point to many, many successful people that haven't taken that approach. So I think like it's just different. There's different leadership styles for different people, just because like one leader is more empathetic and another leader is like more hard hitting and a tyrant. They can both achieve greatness, and you need to kind of remove the outliers, because the example might be, well, yeah, they can both achieve greatness, but only one of those companies is a $1 trillion company, and that's Apple. Okay, well, let's strip the outliers away. Let's look at like the middle of the pack. And like when you look at the middle of the pack, it's Michael Dell, who's a really genuine leader. Empathetic, nice, gives his employees time off, like all that stuff. And then there's, the corresponding whatever other computer company that's also worth a couple few billion dollars that has a tyrant of a leader. And so I think like the point is both leadership styles work. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but I guess like you need to be self-aware though as well, because it goes back to a question that you asked like way earlier. You said, yeah, it's hustle for everyone.
Is it worth, like, yeah, was it the worth it one?
Yeah, maybe.
I think,
I'm losing my train of thought with that anyways.
it's like, I think to that fine line of like, sometimes you have to like lock yourself in and put in the work. And for certain tasks, like for me, like admin tasks are like my hell. So I just have to like force myself to do it. But then also, there's little things like even when it comes to lifestyle, like people are like, yeah, you should wake up in the morning, like journal, then you should go for a run. Like, I don't like journaling and I don't like running. I'm not gonna force myself to do that. Maybe I'll find out, you know what I mean? Like, but I think,
There's lots of ways to be successful, and there's
yeah,
lots of
like,
ways to like achieve what you want to achieve. And so I think as long as you're setting proper goals and measurements in place, and again, you're not fooling yourself, and you're actually achieving those things, then like clearly your style is working, right? If you're not achieving those things, then it's like maybe you got to switch up your style or switch up your tactics, switch up your strategy, and figure out like how you can achieve those things better. But as far as like being on a path that's working for you, like, but again, I think it's like don't fool yourself. I know I said that like
No,
many
that's such a
times.
good point, though. And being
It's
more self-aware of, yeah.
totally. And I what's funny too is like you said, I'm not a social media person really, but I see like all of these, you just said like the journaling and in the morning routine and like those videos that go over that stuff. When I see that, so much of the time when I see that, I'm like, it feels like they're going through the motions of what they think they should be doing, but it's like, are they actually doing it? Are they actually living it? And so I think similarly, like you can lock yourself in a room, you can have the perfect routine, you can close the blinds, you can do whatever, but it's like, are you actually doing it? Or are you just putting yourself through the motions? And so like, don't fool yourself.
That's a good point. And if that works for you, like if that's you found your perfected routine, if that's like what you need to get there, then that's fine. But I think, yeah, sometimes we do, like you mentioned, that's such a good way to put it, like setting ourselves up for
It
it.
ends up being this checkbox at the end of the day where they're like, okay,
What?
well, to have a happy life, I need to journal. Okay, check. I journaled. I journaled. Okay, I need to make my morning smoothie. I made that. Okay, check. Awesome. I need to stretch for 15 minutes. Okay, I did that. Check. And at the end of the day, they have this list of 20 things that have been checked, but it's like they didn't actually live any of that. They didn't actually like they weren't in the present for
In
any of
the
that. They
present.
weren't it was just like living the motions,
Another
going
to
through the
do.
motions and doing it,
Yeah.
right?
No, I agree. And that's like, I think that's just such a big thing now where we all are trying to like do certain things just for.
Do you read much?
I just started reading because I had a realization. Now that I'm done school, I think it allowed me maybe the interest to read because before I'm like, I don't want to read on
Yeah.
top of my school. Second, if I go on social media at night to like, most people go on social media to like decompress, right? It just stresses me out. Every video I see, it could be a cooking video. I'm not going to start cooking on social media, but any video I see just stresses me out because I think, oh, I should do that. I should make this video. Oh, I need to edit this. Even to the point where sometimes watching TV, even if it could be like How I Met Your Mother, some random show, I see one of them like going to work or like doing something. It just stresses me out because I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this right now. I should, So I actually did start reading as of like 2 weeks ago, not calling myself a reader now because this is very new. But I've noticed because I'm reading fiction, so it's very like, it's not stressing me out. I'm not comparing myself and I can just like take myself out of it. And then I've been sleeping really good and I'm not scrolling on my phone or editing or doing random work in the middle of the night. So
So
sorry, I
I
trailed off
no
there,
no no
but
no that,
that was
that's
my
solid,
answer.
that's solid. Like the reading part, that what I was gonna say, and I actually think like you said it better with the TV piece. Totally. Like I find myself watching TV sometimes and I'm like, I might have checked the box of watching TV for an hour, but I didn't actually watch it. I was like
You're
scrolling,
behind
like,
someone
and
else.
so I find myself with reading. There's some days where I like get into a book and I'm like full reading, really enthralled in the story and in there. And there's other days where I find myself, I've read like 5 pages and I'm like,
I didn't
wait
read
a
it.
second, I didn't actually read that. I just went through the motions of it. But I've actually been half thinking about this other stuff.
It
And so,
forces you because you can't like keep along with the storyline. Whereas a show, if I'm watching a show or a movie, I'm on my phone. Like I can't just like watch the show.
but so I think like, again, I could check the box on my to-do list in both those scenarios. But the truth is like the second scenario, I was half thinking about other stuff. I wasn't actually, fully enjoying the book that I was reading. And for me, that's just like literally last night, I was thinking that as reading in bed, I was thinking of something else. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm not actually reading right now. I'm just like, I'm kind of taking in a bit of words every now and then. And it hit me because reading is meant to be this like relaxing thing before bed. And usually it is for me, but the last couple of nights, it wasn't a really relaxing thing before bed.
I need to read before bed.
It was like or like I just happened to have my brain occupied by something else. And so I didn't actually find my heart rate going down. I didn't actually find myself like getting sleepy and getting ready for bed. I just found myself like,
Going through the motion.
oh
I
yeah.
like how you mentioned that. I think a good question to lead into now is someone asked, how do you navigate procrastination? Which before I'll give you some a second to think about that. I read this thing a few years ago that said like procrastination doesn't come out from necessarily laziness, but it actually comes out of like fear of the unknown and not knowing
Totally.
something.
Totally.
Because I found myself in school too, I'd have to like study for an exam. Maybe it was an exam that like a subject I wasn't as comfortable with. I would finish every other assignment that I had on my list. They would be due months out, but I'm like, I'm being productive still,
Totally.
but then I don't need to tackle this. So how do you kind of navigate that?
You just need to have a bias for action always. Like you need to, it's funny, there's a friend of mine that's a a founder, and similarly, so he just started a business, and he was like just overthinking, like an analysis paralysis of like, oh, I need to get a customer, but like I need to build this product better, and like maybe okay, I can set up an email campaign. And I just said to him, like, pick up the phone, man. And so literally right over there, probably 3 months ago now, I sat there and I was like, pick up the phone and call up your his ideal customer profile is this like architecture firms. And so I'm like, let's pick an architecture firm in Calgary. Picks one out of the listings. And I'm like, okay, call them up. Let's do it. And like within 10 minutes, phone call was over. He had a demo booked. He was like all stoked. And I'm like, all right, 20 more. And so like I think just you need to have that bias for action. And you're right. Like it's totally out of the fear. It's out of like the fear of either rejection or unknown, because it's, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Like I need, my product's not there, or my, you know, what do I do actually if I book that call? And you just need to be like comfortable with going with the motions and pulling on those threads and seeing it through. So yeah, I think, I don't know. Like it's one of those answers that again is like very natural in my head, but it's really difficult to vocalize and point to something specific.
I like that you mentioned the action, because sometimes it is just like pushing yourself to do it, but we get, caught in these things where we're just like
I think people
sitting
is,
there thinking about it, then like, it take less time to go do it than we
yeah.
do just sitting there, but
I
it's an
think people as well,
action.
like probably sometimes overthink and focus on the end product versus all the pieces that can get you there. And so they can get caught up in that. I don't know, like think about writing in university, or even writing, like, I don't know if you write in like spare time at all ever, but like essay writing, the best way to get through writer's block, at least for me, was to just start writing words. Right. Because if you overthink and
Start
you're like,
somewhere.
how am I going to structure this? Or how do I want to start this story out? Or like all those questions that come to mind. If you just start right in a stream of consciousness, you kind of pick up the story by the fifth sentence. Right. And you sort of start to then get into something. And so I think it's similar with any type of procrastination. Just do it. And then there's also like really good tactics, like James Clear with the Atomic Habits. Have you read that?
No.
So Atomic Habits is an awesome book.
I think I've heard the title, but
It's an awesome book.
okay.
You should absolutely read
Now
it.
that I'm in my reading era.
So one of the things that he talks about is I think it's like to delay procrastination, but he talks about like going to the gym. So
That's a
if
big one for people where it's like they're gonna
totally,
procrastinate it.
totally. So put your shoes on, like put your gym shoes on, or like grab your gym bag and get into the car. Like that's going to the gym, because like you can fool yourself and be like, oh, like I don't know if I'm gonna do an hour workout or a 10-minute workout or whatever. But if you can just like get in the car and have your shoes on, then like your gym shoes or whatever you wear, it's like that's 90% of the battle. And so it's
It's just the
like
getting up and
exactly. So it's like taking that like initial step and you sort of find the path along the way. Take that initial step of putting that gym gear on. Next thing you know, you're in your car. Next thing you know, you're at the gym. Next thing you know, you've gone past the 10-minute, you know, little stair climber that you said you were going to do. And, you know, 10 minutes is enough today. That's all I need to do. And you've gone into the hour and you feel great.
Yeah, take it like one step rather than that's such a good point,
Totally.
like rather than that end result. And just I think with that, like procrastination, I mean a big one with working out, for example, like I think people you just have to remember like what why are you doing this, and like do you want it enough in a sense, because like I think sometimes we focus more on like, oh, I really want to get there, but that overthinking goes right back into that.
There's another James Clear thing that's like my favorite. It's unrelated to this, but it's habit stacking.
I have heard about this one.
So you take a habit, like for me, it's ingrained in my morning routine. I wake up, I put the kettle on for tea. You can scroll your phone during that moment or whatever, right? But like habit stack, so kettle goes on, I do 20 push-ups. Right? Or like so you take a habit that's already in place and you stack something else on it. It's like such a hack. It's awesome.
Yeah, I actually, it's so funny. The podcast that just went live, she literally just talked about that too.
Damn.
So
Yeah, habit stacking is
it's
awesome.
become more popular. How do you know when it is too much? I'm gonna kind of rephrase this, maybe like you're doing too much, or you've maybe put in too many hours of work and you don't really feel like things are moving, or maybe you even think of this like when do you think it's too much that you physically need a break? Like how do you, especially as an entrepreneur, your life is so ingrained with your work. It's not like maybe, and not that people in a traditional job don't think about their job all day, but it's like there's a bit more separation, I think, there between like the work-life balance. So how do you kind of navigate that?
think it's probably very much still related to what I said before about having those little check-ins and that self-awareness of like your burners or your buckets. And so continually recalibrating that. So understanding like what season am I in right now, or what thing do I really need to go for right now? And what fires am I allowing to burn? And if I'm allowing those to burn, like I know that I'm allowing those to burn, I'm letting that happen, and I'm going really deep into this area. And when they're burning too much, I need to start, throwing water on them and ensuring that, they get back up to speed. And that might mean taking a focus off of this area for a bit, right? And so I think it's just like a continual recalibration, because again, if you have yourself, your family or relationships and your work, like you're not going to accomplish all three of those things in concert all the
100%,
time.
yeah.
Exactly. And so you got to be stealing from something. So I think that's how I'd approach that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think
Does
that
that make
makes sense.
sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of like switch gears here, I think what I hear a lot of people saying is like, I'm gonna put on these hours, and I know like you travel a lot too and do so much, like you mentioned, like your weekly hikes and everything. What are your thoughts on people who kind of don't let themselves have that leisure time, travel time, whatever it may be, until they like, for example, like it's like, oh, I'm gonna work really hard till I'm 40, 50, whatever. I'll enjoy it when I'm retired or have more time. I guess what's your kind of perspective on living more in the present and enjoying things and working hard kind of simultaneously?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a cool question. I guess it comes back to like your own priorities and like the buckets that you want to have things in. Again, like if you want to be at the top percentile in something, you need to recognize that every minute not spent on that thing is hurting you, which is totally fine, right? But you just need to be aware of that. And so if you want to have like a, in the case of like finances, if you want to have like a treat yourself mindset, then like, cool, that's totally fine. But like, know that that's like going to negatively compound your goal towards X amount of dollars saved.
Does that ever affect your mindset of like if you take a day off or take an afternoon off, does that like get to you thinking, well, I could be using this time to achieve this my business?
It does. But I think you can also reframe that a little bit in your mind as to what work is, and build some of that free time around that. So for example, like for me, a hike, going and hiking for 6 hours might actually be a really solid day of work, because there's a really difficult problem that needs to be solved. It needs to be thought through. I need to have a conversation with like a trusted friend about it. And that one, 6 hour hike then leads to like a decision that percolates or permeates through the rest of the company. So it's really impactful. But again, you can't fool yourself. These are some days where like that absolutely can't be the case. And like you need to be tied to your laptop for 16 hours. And so I think it's just like really understanding where that effort is needed.
And when you might need like that energy refuel and like what's more valuable in that moment,
Totally.
type thing.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, as far as like trying to, thread leisure into your life, like yeah, it's probably a good idea. Like, but just know that like, taking a week off building your business,
It's gonna
it's
impact
going
your
to impact
work.
your business, which is totally fine. But like, it's just the reality. So
Right.
you just kind of like that's what that work-life balance is, right?
Yeah.
Or that's like what balance is. And so you just need to be aware that that's the decisions you're making.
Do you think you have a work-life balance, or do you think it's kind of all mixed together?
Yeah, I think I have a work-life balance. Like ultimately it's funny, right? It's like kind of the thread of this entire conversation, which is like as a non-traditional thinker, a non-traditional like career, call it, as an entrepreneur, you want to be doing what you're doing. Like it's Mr. Beast doesn't want $200,000 in his bank account. He wants to create another video. And so even like when Val and I travel, usually like if we went to LA maybe a year ago, and like, yeah, we had a ton of fun together. I also set time aside to have like a couple breakfasts and lunches with people that I wanted to meet that, were good for my career too. And so I think it's like threading that throughout everything is important to me, and it like keeps me energized.
And in terms of like, because you mentioned, your circle earlier on, like surrounding yourself with those people, did you ever have like, while you were building Zazen and everything, would you say most of the people around you were in more of those traditional jobs, like your friends and stuff? Or did you make it a point to include people in your life that were also entrepreneurial? Because did you sometimes feel isolated in that? Like maybe did you have friends that were in a more traditional job?
I think most of my friends were in a traditional job, but that's shifted over time. Like now, so like my fiance getting talking about weddings, talking about like bachelor party, all that stuff. It's
Yeah.
really interesting how over just 5 years, like that list of, or like if I were to look back 5 years ago, that list of who'd I'd invite to those things versus now is completely different, right? And so, like, you're right, 5 years ago or 7 or 8 years ago, like that whole list would have been high school friends and people from sports or whatever, right? And now it's like my best friends are founders because it's what's relatable.
They're
It's who
spending
you
your
connect
time
with.
with.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that was a hard thing that I found to navigate is like telling myself more like it's okay for those people in your life to change, and it's okay for
Totally.
like people to come in and out, and for people to drift, because you're just changing so much in these years of your life that you can't expect yourself to be this, well, one, be the same as you were these years ago, but also expect that person to be the same person they were for
Totally.
you.
Yeah, you're on a much like especially as a founder or entrepreneur, like you're on a much steeper learning curve. Or I don't want to say like learning curve, but you're just yeah, you're to be a good entrepreneur, you need to be insatiably curious and you need to be taking inputs and like always finding a way to take those inputs and produce something better. And so like by nature, you're kind of being hit with all these things and you're like moving forward at a really fast pace. That doesn't happen with a traditional normal job, right? It's a much slower pace of iteration. And so I think like just by nature, you end up outgrowing some of those relationships.
And did you struggle with, like, at the time when most of your circle were people in traditional jobs, did you struggle with anyone like kind of, saying you work too much, or that you just had a different like day-to-day?
Yeah, totally. I think I'm very good at being extroverted, but I'm barely introverted for the
I
most
would
part.
never
I
know
know.
that.
Yeah. Because I'm like good at it and I like to get my like doses of like conversation and whatever my doses of dinner parties, but like after an hour or an hour and a half I'm like all right, like I just want to be my laptop, I want to be my laptop, or I want to be watching The Office. Like it's one of those two things, or like Love is Blind or something, because I'm like a reality TV junkie.
I'm glad to hear that,
Yeah,
because I feel like some guys are so, I'm like, I know you love it,
no,
just admit it.
it's actually disgusting how much TV I watch. But yeah, so like for sure, like that was totally a question, like lots of the times. It's like, oh, like you need to enjoy life more. Like you need, and it's like, well, this is how I'm enjoying
You
it. Like
enjoy,
I really
yeah.
like it.
It's okay that people have like different perspectives on
Yeah.
what they
Yeah.
consider work and
Going back to the leisure comment too, there's totally a balance of like enjoying life now versus in the future. But I also think that humans, they overestimate what they can do in a year, underestimate what they can do in 10. So I think there's like an inherent sort of like disease in humans where they can't think on long time horizons. And that creates this need for something now, like that instant gratification. And so I believe like if people can reframe that thinking and think on longer time horizons, obviously there's outliers where it's like, well, you could die tomorrow. But in general, it's like, if you spend your 20s like busting your ass, the compounding that occurs from that point, like being 30 isn't old, being 40 isn't old, being 50 isn't old, right? And so the compounding that occurs from busting your ass in your 20s that lives on for the rest of your life is super, super impactful. And I think like learning, like understanding the concept of compounding is so important because if you invest a dollar at 16 versus if you wait until you're 35, like the difference of that dollar when you're 75 is completely different, right? I don't know what the math is on it, but
No, I know what
it's
you mean.
like it's magnitudes different because you haven't gotten the benefit of compound over all those years. And so I do think like people can also reframe the time horizon in their mind and think, ah, like do I need to really have leisure right now, or how much leisure do I need, or what does this mean for my future self?
Yeah, it's all about that balance. And you talked about like your support system and stuff. And I think, how important do you think, like, as an entrepreneur, like even like a partner, like a romantic partner would be to that? Do you feel like it makes or breaks that, or?
I
'Cause I know
think,
people have different perspectives on this, so I'm curious what yours
yeah,
is.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I know that I really like the partner that I have. And
Good, you guys are engaged.
by the way, she like, as far as having a partner that I can like spar with on business ideas and stuff, like that's not my relationship, right? It was really funny actually. So when we first started dating, this is 7 years ago or so, 8 years ago, I was telling a story and she's like looking at me like, oh yeah, awesome. And at the end, she goes, "Who's Elon Musk?" And so I was just like, "Oh my gosh, this is wonderful." So she's like, you think I'm not social media? Like, she's totally offline.
Okay.
Which at first I was like, oh my gosh, like how am I gonna have conversation over time with a partner that's like where I can't have these like sparring matches around like entrepreneurship and business,
Right.
everything that I'm really, really excited about and passionate about. But the truth is like, A, I have business partners and founder friends where that aspect of my life is all we talk about. And so it's nice to talk about something else with my girlfriend. And then on top of that, like what's really awesome is someone that's not an entrepreneur, doesn't have a ton of context into that world. It's really easy for her to simplify things down to like total first principles. So
Right.
I might say something, she might go, huh, well, like,
Like the podcast thing.
why wouldn't you do it this way? Or, well, that seems odd. Haven't you thought of this? I'm like, oh,
It's a
fuck.
completely different
Like, you're
perspective.
totally right.
That's such a good
And
point.
so, yeah, I guess like from that perspective, yeah, I think it's like super important. It's also like you talk about work-life balance to the extent that like we believe in that, I guess. That's the total balance to it. Is like having someone that can like pull you into the present and like get excited with you and like force you to celebrate some of those small wins and stuff. So yeah, I think it's super important.
Yeah, I saw this video once that was like too many of us try to make like whoever we're in a relationship with fill like every conversation or every bucket. And it's like you can have, just how you have friends or like your founder stuff, you have friends that you talk to about X topic, you have friends
Totally.
that you do, you may go hit a workout with them, you may go shopping, like you have different people for different reasons.
Totally.
And your partner, yes, they should fill like a lot of that, but not necessarily every single
Yeah.
thing. So switching that perspective, I think that's a really good point there. Okay, to kind of finish it off,
Yeah.
what kind of inspires you, keeps you going, and keeps you happy along the journey, to push you forward?
Keeps me inspired and going. So I think just like solving problems, first of all, right? Like that's being in business, that's all it is. It's like a continual solving of problems, different problems, smaller problems, bigger problems, whatever it is, like you're always learning how to do something new. And so I think that like is one big aspect to it. The other aspect is like we have a really important mission. So we're like we're saving 10 million employees, $10 billion. It's like a really awesome thing to wrap your arms around. So I think that that's like really important. That keeps me going and keeps me like inspired. Spending time with other founders keeps me going, keeps me very inspired.
How do you tread that line of like inspired versus comparison?
I think it's really important to just understand that it's not a zero-sum game. Like just because someone else is winning doesn't mean you can't also win,
Right.
right? And so I think very rarely, obviously like jealousy and envy and stuff is like just human nature, but it's pretty rare that I would feel that way. Yeah, it's like with other founders, it's mostly like, shit, how can I do that? Or like, oh, what can I learn from this
More the
person?
inspiration than the
Totally.
jealousy. Yeah, I think that's such a good. I think as humans, like we confuse that so much of like,
Yeah.
oh, instead of, I literally just talked to a girl about this, like using that, if you feel that jealousy creeping, using it as inspiration rather than, oh, like they got this and I didn't. Yeah, like using
Totally.
it to feel you.
Totally.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so that's like really, yeah, really inspiring and awesome. And then you asked, there's something else in that question.
Yeah, I guess what keeps you happy along the
Oh,
journey? Which we kind of touched on, like the happy
yeah.
mixed with the hustle, but
Yeah. I think it's like finding happiness in the struggle or in the grit. I think that's really important. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like I am happy. I'll say that. Like, yeah, I'm very happy. But I can't think of like specific things that kind of feed into that. Yeah.
And when you were in maybe one of those like tougher times, business-wise, like life-wise, whatever. What kind of got you through that tough time to maybe, like you maybe mentioned, like that human ability to maybe not look forward, but
Yeah.
did you have anything that really helped you look more forward and like, okay, I'm in a tough time now, but there's light at the end
Yeah,
there.
it always helps to like for me it's always come down to talking with other founders and like people that have been where I want to be, which by the way that goalpost changed, right? But that's totally fine because it's actually nice to have a goalpost that's closer to where you're at when you're having those moments because you can then talk to someone that's like just 8 months ahead of you or a year ahead of you and they can recall like vividly. Like, oh, I remember that 8 months ago, we went through that exact same thing. And here's how we got out of it. Or like, oh, like, it's fine. Like, look at us now, this is what we're doing. And it's just like, it shows you that that success is possible.
Yeah.
And I think it shows you as well, like, again, this is maybe like the arrogance or just like whatever else, but if someone else has accomplished that, my instant thought is, well, if they did it, I can do it.
Right.
And so, like, you just naturally feel as though you can dig your way out of those situations. You just need to, again, like, zoom out, have that longer time horizon, and go, all right, like, this chart in the short term might be super jagged and it might drop a little bit and whatever, but over the long term, if I zoom out, it's going up.
Yeah, and it looks smoother when you
Exactly.
zoom out. I think
Yeah.
that's such a good point, like talking to people, because sometimes we isolate ourselves and think, oh, I'm the only person going through this feeling. I'm the only person like
Yeah.
having this struggle. And then you have a conversation with someone, you're like, oh, we're all actually the same and go through the same like human experiences.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, even if it's like in completely different experiences, like down to the same feeling of like, fear, anxiety, stress, like that we
Totally.
all feel. So
It's tough
that's why.
sometimes though to get that vulnerability out of someone, right? And so, like, I would say if you leave a conversation feeling as though, like, oh shit, like that person has everything figured out, and like, ah shit, like I maybe I am an idiot and I don't know, you're probably talking to the wrong person. Or like, go and talk to 10 more people, because
You'll find
7 out of those
someone,
10
yeah.
people will probably be very
Yeah.
vulnerable with you. And like, everyone has like a bunch of hardship, their own story, their own like business scars, like whatever.
I have a question, more just I'm curious about this, but do you find yourself like for ideas or like accomplishments, do you kind of keep it to yourself before it comes to like reality, or are you more of an overshared? Like, do you believe in like evil eye and stuff like that? Like what?
Evil eye, what's this?
It's like, for example, if I tell someone like, oh, I would love to do X dream, I put that out there to them, and then they are like, oh, I'd hate if she accomplished that.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then it would, or like you tell someone you had this amazing job interview before you actually get the job, all of a sudden you don't get the job anymore because you spoke about
Oh,
it too soon. It's
people.
kind of like speaking about something before
Yeah,
it has come into
I'm probably
fruition.
an oversharer.
I am too,
Like,
that's why I'm curious.
yeah, I'm a sales guy. So like, I definitely like overpromise. I don't think I underdeliver, but I overpromise.
Okay. And you just talk the things because you're excited, or like, because I find myself
Yeah.
doing that. I'll get excited with something. So I'm like, everyone's my friend. I should tell everyone about this.
And like, maybe I'm being too hard on myself with that, but I think, like, yeah, generally I would say that I overshare it, but at the same time, like, I think that's important sometimes, because you need that, like, you need that to verbalize that in order
Put it
to
out there.
put it
Yeah.
out there and like understand for yourself, like, okay, I'm like, it's a form of accountability, right? When you tell someone,
And you gotta do it.
all of a sudden, yeah,
Yeah.
you're holding yourself accountable. So yeah, but there's definitely like some things where I don't want to jinx it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jinx it. Yeah. It's
Yeah.
another word for that. Okay. My last question, then we'll end
Okay.
this off. I've always heard that like your 20s can be a shit show, but your 30s are where it gets really good.
Ooh.
As someone in their 30s, can you verify that
As an
information?
old man
Yes.
at the age of 33.
Yeah. Because apparently people also think that once you reach your 30s, you're super old and like life's
That's
over.
crazy.
I know.
That's so
It's
wild.
crazy.
I mean, I think so. I think like life gets better all the time. 20s is really interesting, because you're like, if you go to university, then like a few years of your 20s
Yeah, like it's
is
4 or 5 years of that,
like
yeah.
awkward, and you're stressing over something that, by the way, you shouldn't be stressing about. And you're like trying to like find your way, and there's like this weird, I don't know.
You're figuring yourself out and your
Totally.
identity and what you
And
want to do in life and
totally. And then you finally like think you figure it out, but then you have like all this time of actually trying to lay the foundation for what you truly want. And then by the time you do that, you're in your 30s anyways. And so to me, like, I don't know, I 30s is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I feel like I turned 23 this year
You're so
and I've
young. That's
never, I
crazy.
know, but I feel like I was feeling, I mean, we talked about this briefly, but I
Yeah.
was like feeling myself spiral, but and I was like, holy shit, like I feel like people look at me and think I have my whole life figured out, which sometimes people, I get comments and they think I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
Someone thought I was in my 40s. I was like, okay, slow
That's
down
a full,
there.
yeah.
I think they were just pushing buttons or something, but from maybe that social media outside's perspective, but I think so much of it, like my life has changed so much in the past year that I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Like people keep asking me, where am I gonna move after Vienna? I'm like, I don't know. I'm
Yeah.
not gonna worry about that until like, yes, I'm worried about it a little, but I'm not letting myself worry about it until, because who knows, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, thank you, Tate, for coming on the
Yeah.
podcast. I feel like we got through some good stuff here.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it feels so weird to like talk about stuff that I don't really know anything about. I'm
I
just
think you're
like,
an expert on all
I'm giving
things.
my opinions,
No,
so
but truly, like, I think Like, I got a lot of this conversation, I
Oh,
think
thanks.
a lot of people do. I mean, with most of the guests I interview, I'm always like, put all their socials below, but different than that. But truly,
You can boost up my 500
yes,
Instagram
yeah,
followers.
let's make your Instagram pop off. But yeah, no, I think this was really helpful, not only to me, but whoever's listening, and thanks for getting loud with me. That is it for this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. We post every single Sunday on YouTube for the video version, 7 a.m. MST, and then for the audio, you can listen on Apple, Spotify, any streaming platform you wish. That is it, and you'll hear from me next week on Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, guys.
Am I supposed to do that too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.